This is The Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 41, How to Grow a Passive Income Online.
Welcome to The Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to another edition of The Side Hustle Show. This is episode 41, How to Grow a Passive Income Online. My guest is Montina Spark Wisdom Portis, who I originally met through Pat Flynn's Kindle Author Facebook group, which is actually a great resource for aspiring authors. Definitely worth checking out. The quick, easy-to-remember URL is patsfirstbook.com. PatsFirstBook.com. Over 5,000 members in there. You can hang out with me and Montina plus Steve Scott from episode 9 of this very podcast. Anyway, this is going to be a great show. You're going to learn why online business starts with a platform, how you can begin building your community today, and how to turn their questions into active and passive income streams. All the show notes and links are at SideHustleNation.com/episode41. And speaking of community, I'm opening up the first ever Side Hustle Nation Inner Circle Mastermind Group. Now, I'm relatively new to the world of masterminds, but we've been running in private beta for the last month or so, and the impact and accountability has just been awesome. So I'm ready to open the doors to a small group of fellow side hustlers who are ready to take their hustle to the next level. This won't be a good fit for everyone right now, but it might be a good fit for you, so that's why I'm broadcasting it. So here's what I'm picturing: the group is capped at 8 members, and we're going to meet each week for the next 3 months to dissect your businesses, your goals, and really drive some momentum and positive growth and make some meaningful progress towards your financial freedom this year. So if you're ready to take action to connect with your like-minded peers and really make something happen this year, I urge you to check it out at SideHustleNation.com/join. It's $97 a month and just a 3-month commitment. And of course, there's 100% money back guarantee if you're not getting value from it. Like, I aim to be here and be doing this for a long time, so I'm not aiming to rip anybody off. Again, I'm limiting this to 8 members so we can really have an intimate and productive group. So applications are open until March 15th. I've already had a couple inquiries, so if this sounds like something that might be a good fit for you, I encourage you to head on over to SideHustleNation.com/join, and I'll get in touch with a, we'll set up a quick Skype chat to see if this is going to be a good fit. Any questions, feedback, concerns, definitely hit me up, Nick@SideHustleNation.com. And with that, let's get down to business with Montina. Hey, Montina, welcome to The Side Hustle Show.
Thanks, Nick. I'm happy to be here.
So I'm here with Montina Spark Wisdom Portis. She blogs at fulltimesuccess.com, is the author of How to Make Money Online, How to Grow a Passive Income in 20 Simple Steps, and is also the author of YouTube Video Marketing Secrets Revealed, Beginner's Guide to Online Video Marketing. Now, she's come all the way from homeless shelter to a successful corporate career in IT, and has built a successful, profitable online business in her spare time. So really excited to hear a little bit about how this all works. So Montina, earning money online for most people starts with a platform. Am I right?
It does. And spare time, Nick, where'd you get that?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
We make time.
That's very true. You got to make time. So take us back in time. How you got started? You just a few years ago, you were nobody online, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I got started really on YouTube. And the reason I got started was not to make money online. It was not to build a brand. It was not to, build up anything except to just share online. I wanted to meet people that were very similar to my life experience. I was a single mom at the time and working in corporate America, and I just did not have the complaints of a quote-unquote baby daddy, or I really didn't have challenges that I was dealing with my ex. And I wanted to meet other women that were that had successful careers, that were climbing the corporate ladder, and could share with me. So I had a small nonprofit at that time, and it really was geared at single parent families. And just turned on the camera. My first YouTube was 32 seconds long. And I always kid with people and say my audio didn't even sync up to my lips. It's still up. It looks absolutely horrible. But that was my platform that I started on. And it's an amazing platform that not enough people use. And that's why I wrote a book on it. You know, I don't talk about it. I wrote the book on it. And it's geared towards beginners. It's not geared towards people that want to turn on their webcam and or iPhone or whatever and use YouTube just for business. It doesn't work. And that's where I see a lot of people modeling where I'm going to turn on the camera and people are going to listen to me. No, they're not, because the people on YouTube are there to have fun. And if you do not understand the what I call the just the edutainment, where you're putting some education in, putting in a sprinkle of entertainment, then you'll totally miss that platform. But that's the platform where I started on YouTube.
Edutainment. I like that. A wise man once told me people only use the internet for two reasons. You know, one, to be entertained, or number two, to solve a problem. And so it sounds like edutainment is right in the middle of exactly. those two. And that was the concept in building up. So the YouTube channel came first, came before the blog and anything else?
It did. And, you know, I even get people sometimes that ask me now, you know, about blogging and how to start blogging. And I tell them I'm not a blogger. I look at my site as a big shiny object right now. It really is. I'm not into blogging. Do I update my site twice a week? Absolutely. And, you know, I enter my information on Facebook, but I had a blog actually before then. You know, I had it like over on blogger.com like everyone else. But again, it was just more of, I'd say I was more of a journalist. I was journaling my thoughts online. I had a lot of thoughts coming from, like you said, I was homeless at one point in life. So for me, I've worked really hard to shift my mindset and to really create a better life for my children and for myself. So I did a lot of journaling.
And that started out as just sharing your experiences, and that started to resonate with some people and gained some following organically. I'm looking at some of these, you know, like 180,000 views and stuff. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff on here.
Oh yeah. And the thing about it, you know, what's worked for me now is, you know, Nick, people do business with people they know, they like, they trust. And what happened on YouTube is I built up a community that trusts me. I, show them where I was vulnerable. You know, I'm online and, you know, I'm kind of one of those crafty people. I like doing things myself because it's fun. It never was really a, you know, a finance issue. I just like doing things for fun. And I started making lotions and people would say, would you make that lotion for me? And I'm like, no, I would not, but I'll create a video. So I started creating videos on how to make your own lotion and how to, you know, cook on a budget and how, you know, when I first built my house, in Jacksonville, Florida, you know, I just kind of would do the videos there from my house or I'd show my backyard and people just started coming and communicating with me. Now, one of the things I did well on YouTube was I communicated back. It was not a one-way conversation. It was always two-way. And so now, you know, YouTube shows me like my top YouTube fans, but I call it a community. So now I have an engaged community. So when they leave a comment, they know that I'm going to comment back. They know that I'm engaged and I'm going to ask questions and I have a pretty good memory. And so many of them have also, you know, been featured in my book and some of them even, you know, migrated over to Facebook.
Yeah, it's a very, I like that. Building an engaged community. You hate to use it as just a broadcast medium. Hey, look at my stuff. This is what I'm pitching and you can like it or take it or leave it.
But you know, the thing about it is if you put enough information out there that resonates with your community, they don't mind. Once in a while, if you put some content out there that is broadcasting, you know, my new book, they didn't mind it because I built up, you know, so much in the beginning. It's kind of like, you know, what Gary Vaynerchuk says in his new book, and the jab, jab, jab. You're putting enough information out there that now they're saying, oh, I don't mind because I built up the trust factor, which is why I tell people when you're using a medium like YouTube for business, don't think you're going to get on there, turn on this camera with this amazing video and this amazing intro and outro, and everyone's just going to flock over to your page. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Right. It's a crowded space. You got to do something definitely to stand out. So for somebody now today, you've got a very multi-pronged attack here with YouTube, with the blog, with the product business, with the coaching thing, with the eBooks and the courses. Like I think it could be overwhelming for somebody who's just starting out. So what, you have, if tomorrow is day one for me, what should I focus on first?
That's a great question. And, you know, I recently did a coaching session for people that bought my third book that I published on Amazon. And that was the How to Make Money Online series. And I tell you, you know, it's really an illusion when we look online. There are not any overnight successes. For 5 years, I was online before I really started making money online. And that was within the last 10 months. Now, I did have a product-based company I made money in. But again, it was a tangible. You know, I made $12,000 like my first 20 days on the weekend. But I was selling a product. Now, it was like a $2 product. But I was still selling a product. And I still was trading time for dollars. Mm-hmm. So I'd say to someone really starting off online is you want to really get very clear about who your ideal client is. Who are you targeting? Who's your market? I'll often tell them, set up a squeeze page. You know, you can check out a squeeze page. I have it at MontinaPortis.com or, you know, Spark Wisdom was my name that grew from YouTube. So make sure you pick your YouTube name correctly. But focus on who you want to speak to. Get very clear about who do you want to reach, especially if you go out and say, well, I just want to make money. Number one, think about it in terms of you want to serve people. You want to solve problems. And how can you now get your message out to that ideal person? So again, look at your ideal client. Then set up a squeeze page. You don't even need a website starting out. It's a big, shiny object. And the only person going to look at it is you. And then pick a platform and start dominating that platform. YouTube was my platform, and that's why I'm very comfortable with YouTube. I had to go and start, you know, migrating it over to Facebook, but you have Facebook, YouTube, Google Plus, Pinterest, Instagram. Pick one and go. Start building up that community early on.
No, I definitely like that idea of, you know, allocating your resources on something that makes the most sense for you. Like, I don't have Pinterest and Tumblr and or any of those, because it's like I don't not that I don't understand them, but I don't want to, I'm not going to be fully engaged, and so it would be a disservice to, you know, the people who, you know, would come on that platform, right? And so it's like, yeah. I, you know, spend my time on Twitter and Facebook or and the blog, basically.
Right. Well, the thing about Pinterest, though, I mean, so here's what I would say to you, or, you know, to one of my clients. I'm not on Pinterest a lot. Number one, I know it's highly addictive, and I know it's like
it's dangerous.
Fastest growing site, it really is. And it's predominantly women. But I'll tell you, I have something that works for me for my books. So I have a pin, I have a board. And I have a board that's named like the free books on Amazon. And I tell you, people come over there and they look for it. And I did a video on YouTube about, you know, how you can go to Amazon and get all these free books. And so for me, now I'm attracting people that read books, they repin this, and it now serves for my business. So maybe once a day or, you know, once every couple of days, I'll go and, you know, put some books up on that site. And people go over there. And again, they're engaged now on Pinterest with that board. And then I have a board set up for my YouTube videos. I have a board set up, you know, for some. I have a daughter that's a vegan. I'm a vegetarian. So I put some of our food up on Pinterest. So I really do my best. If I'm online, for me, it is personal. You know, my business is very personal to me. But I'm not online to really play. I guess I could, the best way I could say it. If I'm online, it's very intentional. And for every site that I'm on, it's very intentional. And it is to get a certain message across to that audience and that community.
And I like what you said about the video about how to get free books on Amazon, right? It's not a direct sales pitch for your products, but it's like, here's something that can help you out. If you're curious, you know, there's all these books that are going to be free on Kindle every day, and here's how to find them. And
right.
Oh, by the way, I'm an author too. Like it's a very soft sell. I like it. So how do these different platforms kind of feed into each other for you?
Oh, wow. Well, let's look at, I guess we'll start with my favorite platform, which is YouTube. So for me, every time that I create a video on YouTube, of course it goes out to my Twitter. But what I do different than most people is I don't just share the link over to Facebook. I actually upload the raw file to Facebook. And people will find that the people on Facebook enjoy being on Facebook, just like the people on YouTube enjoy being on YouTube. And you really have to understand that. There are many times where I'll take the audio from one of my videos and I'll post it on SoundCloud. I might use it for a podcast. I might put it directly on my site. And then also for your website, of course, you can take that file that you get from YouTube and embed it actually into your website. And you can, for me, I'll use like a Vuebix to make sure that I do that so I can look a little bit, dive deeper into the analytics. So then as you're creating all of that, what I like about doing video and really starting with video is that you start to get more comfortable in front of that camera. You start getting a lot more clarity when you're speaking. I don't use scripts. I don't teach my clients to use scripts. I know a lot of people out there teach using scripts. But again, I really believe that there just needs to be, you know, I think that it's a stage on YouTube. And if you can just start really thinking and understand that you're going to make mistakes and that it's okay to show your imperfections, I think it sets up nicer. So when you're doing and moving from that YouTube, you can also have the YouTube video transcribed, which again can turn into a blog post for you as well. So having that type of approach for me works because I do teach part-time entrepreneurs and I help them also to do some automation. So when they're actually taking something from YouTube, they can put it up into, you know, Hootsuite or Postcron or something like that and then auto-post it out as well. Another great way is you can use YouTube as a platform to answer questions, to use it to demonstrate the use of a product or service. You can use it to explain your business. I mean, there are just so many pathways that can lead to success for you. And then, depending on the type of response that you get for a specific video or lots of questions, now you can turn that video into possibly creating a course, or you can create a course from it or an opt-in offer from it as well.
In the book, in the YouTube book, you mention the mistake of not creating an email list from your videos early on. So tell me a little bit about that and how to go about if somebody wants to start that today. It's easy to say, hey, you got to be building your list, but kind of the nuts and bolts of how do you get that done? Like, do you put a link in the description to the video or do you put a call to action in the video itself? How does it work?
Biggest mistake I made. Biggest mistake for years and years and years. Number one mistake that I made was not collecting emails. When you're using it on YouTube, you know, most people kind of think, well, I'm just going to put it in the description. You can, and you can put it in the about box. I noticed some people put it in the first sentence. Some people don't. Again, I think that's more of a preference. I prefer to put it a couple sentences down and use it more of my about description box higher for SEO and keywords. Now, again, it depends because now YouTube has made this so easy for us, Google Plus. So a couple of different ways that you can grow your email list right directly from YouTube. You can use an external annotation that can take people back to your website and you can actually have, you know, your automated form right there on your website. So that's one simple way that YouTube is made. But again, one thing that I would watch, people like to stay on the platforms that they're on. They don't like to switch off platforms. If they're on Facebook, they want to stay on Facebook. If they're on YouTube, they want to stay on YouTube. You can actually put a link in the about description box. But Google has also made it easy to actually put links right in the comment box. Now, I have not decided, and I put this in my updated release of the book. I don't know if I like this yet because I know that people are spamming. Mm-hmm. But YouTube has a great filter right now where they're catching the spammers. And some people, you know, they just don't understand that it's rude to just drop their links on people's videos. And, of course, they do it on Facebook, too. But again, simple ways, external annotation, put it in the about box, use it in the comments. And a lot of people put on, you know, the Google AdSense, they want to do ads. When you're first starting off, you're not going to make a lot with ads. Go after the big wins, which is really capturing email addresses. Maybe put something at the end of the video that's a call to action and you're giving away an opt-in offer or a free ebook or a free training of sorts. So those are just three very distinct ways that you can collect email addresses right from YouTube.
So a minute ago, you mentioned Vuebix for analytics, and I've used a software called Lead Player, but I think they're, at least last time I looked, they're actually shut down or not accepting new clients. And what their, you know, gimmick is, you can embed, you know, clickable links or call to action in your video itself. And so Vuebix offers something similar. Mm-hmm. Does it work on YouTube or only when it's embedded on your site?
Only when it's embedded on your site.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. It has to be outside of YouTube. Yeah, I like it. You know, they can share the video, Facebook, Twitter. And people like to share. If you ask them, they definitely will do that.
Yeah, very cool. Tell me about your group coaching setup and how that kind of came into being.
Well, if anyone follows me anywhere online, I talk a lot about the importance of having a coach, having a mastermind group, and being part of a group. And my coaching came, again, I had a product-based business that I ran, Organic Life Products. And so I had almost 100 consultants by the end of 2012. Now, mind you, I was still working a full-time job, IT security, and running this business. You know, some of the weekends I was working in a flea market. I was doing it all.
Did you sell it off? You said it's all past tense.
Well, I haven't sold it off, but everything is filled now through Amazon FBA, and we just don't do a whole lot that we did before. So I don't make the lotions except for very exclusive clients. So
okay.
No.
Okay, gotcha.
But there are some sales that we do just through Amazon FBA. But I had consultants for about 2 years. They, you know, paid like $100 to come into my business, and I found that they were in a Facebook group. But it was free. I didn't have anything, you know, ongoing. Well, when I joined a mastermind group, one of the first things that my coach said to me was, do you want to be popular online or do you want to be profitable? And if you want to be profitable, then you have to shut down free groups. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I still want to serve these people. And I did. I shut down every free group that I had. And I can probably tell you right now, I can't think of any free groups that I'm part of. If I have not invested in a book or a service, I'm probably not a member of the group. And so I had people that were interested in working with me. And so what I did is, you know, by this time I had some courses created online, but I noticed that people were asking me for more direction, more clarity. They just wanted more time and attention, and they needed a step-by-step guide. And so I set up group coaching and actually run my format on Facebook. And here in the near future, in 2014, I am opening a part-time entrepreneur academy, which will also have a group coaching component to that as well. But that's why I ran it. So I run everything on Facebook. I have clients that I work with, some in a private group where I'm there and available every day. But I do weekly videos, and they have access to the videos, and they just, you know, pay a membership investment each month. And then I have one that's not in a Facebook group that people just connect with me once a month, and I do a live webinar, and then they invest their time with me during that time. It works very well for me because, you know, people do want more. But early on, I guess, you know, I had a number one mistake of not collecting emails. But if I had to go back and say another mistake I made, it's giving too much away for free. I mean, there's a point where you have to start charging people for your services. And I actually listened to an interview recently where someone said they had like 50,000 people on their website before they launched their first book. And you'll always have people that will not pay. They don't want to pay for your services, and they always want it free. But at some point, we have to understand that this is an investment in our time to gain knowledge, and we're running a business. And we can't expect to go into a supermarket or into the mall and just take things off the rack for free. We have to give people an opportunity to also invest in our services. So each week, each month, we have a very core, tight focus. And whatever the focus is for the month, my clients can ask the questions in the group. I create the videos. I have a Friday Q&A that they have, and we have a twice monthly call. But again, it's not a free-for-all. It's not jump in and say whatever you want. I keep it very focused, and it works very well.
So what was the initial response when you say, hey, it's going to be a paid membership deal. It's going to be, you know, like I said, weekly videos. And then for a higher level, we're going to have this live, you know, live Q&A webinar, but it's going to be around a specific topic each month.
I mean, I had, you know, I really thought it would probably have been, you know, hundreds would have flocked. I wish I could have said that, but it didn't. You know what? At first it was like, wow, like I said, you're charging for this now. And I found that, you know, I have thousands that have enrolled and taken my courses, but it was a little bit more challenging. And what I found is I actually had to increase my prices across the stage of development. I've been coaching now probably for about a year. And with my clients, I've learned to increase my prices because it seemed like, you know, at a lower price point, you know, I was in some groups where I paid anywhere from $97 a month to $447 a month. But at the higher price points, I noticed that people were much more serious about their businesses. So there were people that, you know what, they just jumped right in. I knew some of the people that would immediately follow me, and then some were reluctant, and I saw 3 or 4 months down the line, they joined the group.
Yeah.
So it's been a great journey. But it also helped me to build my part-time entrepreneur academy because now I'm coaching, but I also have content. that I can release for the courses.
Yeah, when we were talking earlier, you mentioned that the questions and the content from this group coaching kind of feeds into these courses, which go up on Udemy and go up on other platforms. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I was really, really excited about. As you still have to create the content, but like you kind of have this steady flow of questions coming in to help cure the writer's block or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And thank you for that. That's one of the things I do now. And just to make it clear, I create the content for my group. And you know what, Nick? I love it. I love serving them. I love helping them. They're part-time entrepreneurs. They want to understand. And so it helps me kind of get polished and make sure that, is it very clear? You know, like I told you earlier, you got to know who your ideal client is. You need to build up a community. You know, I see a lot of what I call shiny objects online and, get this course for $3,000. We're going to teach you how to write ebooks and create content and build membership sites and that. But where are you going to get the people if you don't have a community? And so I spend a lot of time with my group helping them understand and identify their ideal client, making sure they have a checklist of, what problems does your product or service solve? What's your 30 to 60 second elevator speech? What platform should you be on? Where are your people on? And then each month, I tell people that I coach with, if you're going to create an information product, make it very generic. I always say in this video or in this lecture, or I'll see you in the next lecture, I don't use any, Udemy, Skillfeed, Skillshare. Those are platforms I teach on. I don't mention them in any of the courses. I don't mention this is for my inner circle. I don't mention this is for a client. And then I take the content and of course, yes, I can repurpose it. You can repurpose your content, which you know what? We're entrepreneurs. We definitely should be repurposing that content.
Right. You can, do the work once you've written it. For example, in the YouTube book, this is a really helpful guide for people getting started. And that could be, now it's in book form, but it could easily be made into video form, as I'm sure it is on some, one of your courses. And,
right.
And put inside, all these different membership, kind of behind the paywall kind of stuff.
Right. And Nick, I want to answer also again, when you said, where should you first start? And I said, build your community and just to make sure that you have a squeeze page. But if I were to start in terms of, product, coaching, ebook, I had someone recently contact me and they said, I want to make $50,000 to $100,000 online. But the first thing they started was with writing ebooks. And I said, are you serious? Like, you really think you're going to make $50,000 to $100,000 online with an ebook?
You got to sell a lot of books.
You got to write a lot of books. But I tell people, an ebook might seem like the easiest way, but you know what? If you go to a site right now that's up, and that's Skillfeed, you can put up a 5-minute, matter of fact, you can put up a 1-minute to 2-minute skill snack. Okay. You can make a 1 to 2 minute video. So sometimes the momentum needs to get going. On Udemy, you can put up a 30-minute course, and you can use it as a free opt-in. So I would probably sharpen the saw and look, an ebook's going to take some time. It took me really years to write that ebook because I thought about it and put it off, with all of my excuses. But then when I finally sat down and wrote the book, I thought, well, this is great. And, a couple books later, but now I'm thinking, really, the books sell for $2.99, $3.99. Is it the best approach in the beginning? Maybe not. But if you're comfortable, you can do a course and you don't have to be in front of the camera to do it.
Right, you can do screen capture videos and yes. Stuff like that. No, it was the same way. Getting over the self consciousness of sitting my butt in front of the webcam, hearing my recorded voice, which is still sounds weird to me. It's like, oh, do I really sound like that? and now we're 40 something episodes deep into this podcast, and it's opened up so many doors. And so that's kind of a takeaway I can speak personally to is if you're on the fence about something, just take the leap and get over yourself and put yourself out there and do it for sure.
Absolutely. And congratulations on 40 episodes. That's great.
Thank you.
Great job.
So you mentioned Udemy, Skillfeed, any other platforms you're putting these courses up onto?
I'm also teaching on Skillshare I don't know if it'll be another book or I think I'm going to create a course, but there is right now, there's over 20 sites online. And I can tell you, when we look ahead, the internet moves fast. I tell all my part-time entrepreneurs I work with, because they're like, oh, I can't keep up. You know, you're right. You can't. It moves fast. But there is a direction going right now for online learning. That movement is just growing and growing. The momentum's there. You know, Udemy is the largest site for online destination courses right now. And in my, you know, day career that I'm going to be retiring from very soon in 2014.
Congratulations.
Yay!
Very exciting.
I'm going to join you all. One of the certifications we have is one of the top certifications in the world. And the instructor for that course teaches on Udemy. The course is like, you know, $2,000, but the instructor's on Udemy. So there's a huge shift in that direction of online courses. And I would say get on it. Right now, I know that there's a site called Curious.com. And I believe it's their CEO mentioned that right now there's like $55 billion. Like, you know, for these online courses availability for people seeking out more. They want to learn.
Well, it just makes sense. Like it's on demand. Even if it's $2,000, it's a fraction of what a university education is going to cost.
Yes.
And it's like, if this is something that you can directly apply and yes. and start making money with right away,
yes.
That's a much narrower break-even point for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And you don't need, you know, I always tell people I have credentials. But you don't need credentials to teach online. Anyone can teach online. My husband and I both teach online. Get started and do it.
There's something that you know more about than the average person. Bingo.
You know what, Nick? There are people out there teaching anything from relationships to cooking to yoga. I mean, Excel. Who doesn't know Excel or know that you can get free courses online about Excel? YouTube. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of videos about YouTube. Even right now with your podcast, people are teaching podcasting. And, you know, I have this picture in one of my books, but it talks about, you know, it has a picture of an expert and then another picture that's identical. It says not an expert. It says, can you tell the difference?
I like it. The guy who's planted his flag and declared himself to be the expert is the expert for sure.
Is the expert. That's right.
So Montina, if you had the opportunity to start over, is there anything you would do differently in building up these different platforms and courses?
Absolutely. I YouTube's still my favorite and I would have definitely started there, but I would have probably, you know, of course, collected emails early on. If you go back to my early videos in 2009, I'm not saying I answered things like with a sentence. I used paragraphs. I answered every single question. And I wouldn't have given away so much. Now, I think that we should give, you know, Ramit Sethi talks about it. He gives away like 98% of his content away for free. And his top 2% of his content is, you know, it's well worth it. Actually, he was my first online, I'd say, you know, mentor coach, because I invested in Earn 1K. I was one of the first graduates. So yeah, I would have done it differently in that way, that I would have been a little bit more focused. So I tell people now that come online, get a coach. Don't play games. If you know that you want to make money, if you know that you want to build influence, if you know you want to have engagement and community, and you see people like, you know, one of our favorites, Pat Flynn, making $50,000 a month, get started now. Get in a mastermind group. Get a coach. Get people around you that are big thinkers and dreamers. And that's what I would have done a little bit different. Again, but I didn't have that intention getting online. I just wanted to have fun. And I did for 4 years.
Yeah, that's and, you know, but eventually it was the slow growth that eventually paid off, because you built a genuine community around you. And then you had the, you know, freedom to do whatever you wanted with it. That's really cool.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, it's given me options. It's given me an option to exit a career that I worked my entire life to get. So again, it gives you options to do. So, you know, and really there are consequences to fear. If we don't do it, we get missed opportunities. So, and all in all too, Nick, you have to have fun online. I do have a lot of fun online, but again, my focus is just a little bit different.
Definitely. So tell me about, it sounds like your next big project is this Part-Time Entrepreneur Academy.
It is.
Sounds like
yes.
That's right up the alley for the Side Hustle listeners.
Yes, it's going to actually be an academy. It'll be at fulltimesuccess.com, and you'll be able to learn more about that. But it will start in 2014. My mission right now is to help 1,000 part-time entrepreneurs make their first $1,000 online. When people, I mean, I get people now that say, oh my gosh, I made a dollar. I didn't think I could make a dollar online. But I really want to help them understand that people are making money online. There's a huge shift here. And whether you want to use it for travel, if you want to use it to plan for early retirement, if you just want to use it for some extra money, whatever the case, I want to show that there are options. There are ways to do it through YouTube and not Google AdSense. I'm talking about sponsorships. I had someone contact me recently for up to $10,000 sponsorship for my YouTube. And that's just putting in, URLs. I mean, golly. I mean, there's ways to have eBooks. There's ways to do courses. There's ways to write, Nick, a $7 report. And if you sell one $7 report over the course of a month, gosh, I tell people, yeah, it's like an extra $217. But guess what? Let's say you sell five of those a day. Now you're talking about an extra $1,000. Yeah, or a report.
It adds up, and it's like you write it once and you can sell it a million times.
Exactly.
Well, very cool. Montina, thanks so much for coming on and sharing all this wisdom in your journey as an entrepreneur. It's been exciting to follow along. So everybody check her out, fulltimesuccess.com or username Spark Wisdom on YouTube.
Absolutely. I'm everywhere, Spark Wisdom. And again, pick your YouTube name wisely because it will follow you.
Now it's part of the brand. I love it.
It's part of the brand, Nick. Thank you so much for what you're doing at Side Hustle Nation, man. I mean, it's awesome. And there are so many people out there that, you know, we've removed excuses because if they want to have a side hustle, the information and content's all here.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. And I will talk to you soon. And there you have it. Such a cool success story and strategy that Montina has going on. Anyways, that's it for this week's show. Show notes and links at sidehustlenation.com/episode41. And hey, if you'd like to work directly with me and some other driven side hustlers this spring on your business, head on over to sidehustlenation.com/join and check out the Inner Circle Mastermind. You won't regret it. Any questions, let me know. And that's it for me. That's it for this week. Until next time, go out there, make something happen, and I'll see you next week in episode 42.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.